Daniel chapter 1. That'll be on page 898. And please keep your finger there in Daniel chapter 1 as we move around to some other verses. I want to read the text verse again in verse 8. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Title of the message this morning is Dare to Be a Daniel. Now let's pray. Father, we thank you for the blessings that have been ours in this place today, the good, sweet fellowship, the singing, the good music, the choir, and the special. And now I pray our hearts are prepared and ready for the preaching of your word. I pray that you'd bind Satan from our minds and from our midst, and don't let him hinder the message this morning. Save those who may be lost, reclaim those who may be backslidden, and do a mighty work in each one of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to try to challenge you young people this morning, as well as you middle-agers and you senior saints, with the words that I read here in verse number 8, where Daniel says that he would not defile himself. Do you know, folks, know what's wrong with modern-day Christianity? We are not much different from the non-Christians. The modern-day preachers are not preaching the truths found in God's holy word. They are preaching salvation without repentance, salvation without conversion, salvation without sanctification, salvation without living for Christ, salvation without giving up sin. And because of that type of preaching, those professing salvation still do everything they used to do before they were saved, things that the non-Christian does. They don't believe in absolutes. They believe there's nothing absolutely right and nothing absolutely wrong, so just do as you please, and we sure are. We watch the same wicked movies as the unsaved do. We watch the same filthy television shows that the lost do. We go to the same bars, drink the same booze. By the way, I don't care what new program and doctrine Moody Bible Institute has and other evangelical churches have. I believe that all alcoholic beverages are wrong and sinful and harmful, and we should not touch the devil's drink. Turn with me over, keeping your finger there. I want to look at a few verses concerning that. Keep your finger in Daniel as we move along. Go back to the Old Testament, to Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20, page 686, if you have a King James Scofield Bible. Proverbs chapter 20, verse number 1. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Go to your right a couple of pages to Proverbs 20, verse 29. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine, they go to seek mixed wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in his cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. And then go to the book of Habakkuk, chapter 2, right near the end of the Old Testament. You'll find that on page 957. Habakkuk, chapter 2. Look with me at verse number 15, Habakkuk 2:15, page 957. Woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink, that puttest thy bottle to him, and makest him drunkard, also that thou mayest look on their nakedness. Alcohol of all sorts is wrong and sinful. Then we wear the same kind of clothes. We use the same curse words. We take the name of the Lord in vain. There's little difference between the saved and the lost anymore. So the unsaved, they look at us who claim we're saved and say, "Why would I need your religion? You're not any different than I am. You do things that I don't even do. Why in the world would I need your religion?" We, like them, are worshiping at the feet of the God of pleasure. Take your Bibles and turn with me to 2 Timothy, please. page 1281. 2 Timothy chapter 3, page 1281. And the last part of verse number 4. 2 Timothy chapter 3, last part of verse number 4. Here's a picture of Christianity today. Here's a picture of the entire world, saved and lost. Last part of verse 4. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. We listen to the same jungle music which causes our passions to be uncontrolled. We take Christian lyrics and put them to the jungle beat. If a person is genuinely saved through the Lord Jesus Christ and faith in Him, then they become a new and different person. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, page 1233, please. Page 1233, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Look at verse number 17 with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, page 1233. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. If there hasn't been any changes in your life since your salvation, you need to go back to the cross and get it taken care of. Oh, how we need some Daniels today who will say, I will not defile myself. A few years ago, one of our teenagers came into church and looked quite sleepy. And I asked him, didn't you get any sleep last night? And he replied, no, I was at my friend's house. And we stayed up till 4 a.m. chatting with people on the internet. I thought to myself, where in the world are the parents? What kind of parents would let their kids stay up until 4 a.m. chatting on the internet? Kids today are becoming sexually active at such a young ages that by the time they're 16, 17, and 18, the excitement of natural sex has lost its appeal, and they're turning to other kinds of sex, such as homosexuality and lesbianism. I think the flags in heaven are flying at half-mast today because a wicked judge ordered that same-sex couples are to be allowed to get a marriage license and get married. So on Thursday, in our community, 27 same-sex couples did just that. And no doubt before long, there'll be another wicked judge that will say, you're going to have to marry same-sex couples if they come to church and request it. Well, I want them to know, I will disobey all of those judges because I'm going to obey the great judge of the universe, and I'll rot in jail if need be. Very sinful world we live in today. We need some young people today who will stand up and say, I will not defile myself. We also need some middle-aged and some senior saints to do the same thing. So I'm going to dare you folks this morning to become a Daniel. What kind of a person was Daniel? Well, let's look and see. This young man was really on the spot. He had been carried away from his own land into the land of Chaldeans over to the city of Babylon, more than 1,000 miles away from his home. Bible scholars tell us that this young Daniel was only about 17 years of age when he was taken captive and put into the hands of an invading king and made a slave in this strange land. It was the custom of the kings of Babylon when they conquered a people to select the finest, most promising, most intellectual young people of that conquered land to give them an education in the University of Babylon and prepare them to take a place of leadership and responsibility in the government of that country. So here is this young captive Daniel who now has a chance at an education in the world's greatest university. Remember, he's a slave now, and if he makes good in this 3-year university course, he will be given a place in the government, which means not only that he'll be out of slavery for the rest of his life, but that he will also be financially secure the rest of his life. He will have a place of honor and prestige, and he will be a somebody. But this young man has convictions. He loves his God, and he don't want to disappoint his God. He's been brought from his childhood that the followers, been taught this, that the followers of Jehovah God should eat meats and have been offered to idols, should not do that, and they should not defile themselves with strong drink. The Babylonians believed that a person could not be brilliant or healthy without certain kinds of food and drinking some kind of liquor. So the king appoints the diet for these and drinks for these young men during their 3-year university course. So in his young teenage years, Daniel comes face to face with the crisis of his life. Now he's got to make a choice. If he refuses to fall in line and take the diet and the drinks that are set before him, chances are 10 to 1 that it will mean slavery for the rest of his life. So what are you going to do, Daniel? Our text verse says, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. It didn't matter, regardless of the consequences, Daniel would not defile himself. Convictions are the most expensive things in the world, the most inconvenient things in human life. But the only thing that really makes human character worthwhile are some real convictions. There are three sovereign verbs that govern most of life and relationships. One is to get, another is to have, and the third is to be. But it is far more important what you are than what you get or what you have. What you get, you might not be able to hold. And what you have, you may not be able to use properly. But what you are is your biggest asset in life. You know you're going to have to live with yourself all your life. And if you can't look at your face in the mirror and respect yourself, you've already been defeated. The saddest day in a young person's life is when he has covered up something and therefore loses his self-respect. Let's look into this young man Daniel's temptation. When Daniel came face to face with this crisis, the devil was right there on the spot to talk to him. I can imagine some of the things the devil had to say to Daniel. The first was probably to get Daniel to compromise his convictions. Perhaps the conversation went something like this. Now, Daniel, don't be a fool and throw away the biggest opportunity of your life. It's a chance to become a young man only once in a lifetime. And Daniel, you can't afford to play the fool now. Better to compromise some things now than to forfeit an opportunity like this. Was the devil correct? Absolutely not. It is better to stand four square for God, for right, for righteousness, and for principle. Is it better to go down fighting for the right things or to succeed by compromising? Daniel knew what he believed, and he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. We all need to know how and when to say no and to take a stand and stay put. That kind of a person will go somewhere in his Christian walk. Then I can imagine the devil saying to Daniel, Daniel, everybody else is doing it. There's not a parent in this building this morning who hasn't heard those words. Everybody else is doing it. We are morally afraid to be different from the rest of the crowd. And oh, how we are afraid of men, afraid of public opinion, afraid of the scorn of the crowd. One of the things that has damned more lives and wrecked more souls is the fear of man. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, now with me, please, keeping your finger in Daniel, to Proverbs chapter 29, somewhere around the middle of the Bible. Proverbs chapter 29, you'll find it on page 693. Proverbs chapter 29, page 693. Look at verse number 25 with me. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 25. The fear of man bringeth a snare. The fear of man made Peter deny his Lord that tragic night. One of the saddest chapters in the apostle's whole life was when, before the accusation of the mob, Peter faltered, was afraid, and finally swore with bitter cursing that he didn't even know our Lord. Why, Peter, just a little while ago, you vowed, Lord, if all men forsake you, I will not. I'll die first. And now you're afraid of the crowd. The fear of man caused Pilate to turn the Lord over to the Jews to be crucified. One of the saddest things in the Gospel of John is found in John chapter 12. And would you turn there with me, please? John's Gospel, the 12th chapter, page 1133 in your Scofield King James Bible. John chapter 12, page 1133, verse 42 and 43. John 12, 42 and 43. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also, many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. They loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Isn't that true today? Now go to the last book in the Bible, Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21, page 1351. Revelation 21, look at verse number 8. Revelation 21 and verse 8. But the fearful and unbelievable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Notice at the head of the list of those cast into hell are the fearful. I think there is a significance between the fearful and the unbelievers. I think God means to teach us that there are more people in hell today because they're afraid of man than for any other reason. So God heads the list of this crowd with the fearful, afraid of what people think, afraid to cut loose from the crowd, afraid that people will think you're strange. If you can't stand it, you'll never be a great Christian. I want you to notice what the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Would you turn there with me now, please? 2 Timothy chapter 3, page 1281 in your King James Scofield Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 3, page 1281. Look at verse number 12, 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12. Notice carefully. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. Bill Russell knows what that's about now. He has some of his friends making fun of him, laughing at him because he comes to church all the time. Bill, we are going to suffer persecution. Our Lord did. It takes a little bit of courage to live for the Lord. It takes no courage at all to live like other people are. But it does take real, honest-to-goodness courage and backbone to cut loose from the crowd, give up family and friends when you know God's calling you in a different direction. It does take real courage to face the scoffing and the fun-poking and the frowns of the ungodly crowd. Anybody can go to hell. Anybody can be a sinner. The lowest down, sorriest piece of humanity can wallow in the mire, live in sin, and go to hell. It doesn't take character or manhood or womanhood nor courage nor anything else to go to hell. Daniel, everybody else is doing it, the devil said. If it is wrong, the fact that the whole world does it doesn't make it right. Just because the whole world does it doesn't mean that God is going to overlook that. He proved that in the flood. All the world turned its back on God except one family, and God destroyed the rest of them. Sin is still sin, and sin is still as hideous as it ever was. We cannot coddle and dabble and play with sin and get away with it any more today than people did back in the beginning of time. It is still the slimy serpent it always has been. Still in the end, it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. It will wreck, ruin, damn, break hearts, destroy everything you live for, and drag you down to hell, just like it always has, regardless of what people think about it. Sin is still the deadliest, most destructive thing in all of human life. Sin is still a cancer which eats out the human soul. Sin is still the thing that destroys everything worthwhile in human life. Then I can imagine the devil said to Daniel, Daniel, there's honor in it. Oh, how many have sold out to the devil for a little bit of money, and they're now trying to satisfy their souls on it. Jesus Christ never spoke a greater truth than what he said in Luke chapter 12, and I want you to see this verse. So make sure you find it in the Bible. Luke chapter 12, page 1092. Luke's Gospel, the 12th chapter, page 1092, and verse number 15. Luke 12, verse 15, page 1092. Verse 15. And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Totally opposite to our thinking today, isn't it? Our thinking today is get all the toys you can and you'll be happy. No, you'll be miserable. You cannot satisfy human life with things. The fact is, the more of the world's goods that you have, the more miserable you become. Everybody ought to read through the book of Ecclesiastes through in one sitting. It's a story of the life experience of Solomon. In his old age, he is telling of his search for something to satisfy his life. First, he tried knowledge, and he became the wisest man that ever has lived outside our Lord. But knowledge didn't bring him happiness. Then he tried pleasure. He put on some party. He got men and women and singers and musicians. He entered the happy world of society. But when it was all over, he had to say, vanity of vanity, all is vanity. Then Solomon imagined that some people get real joy out of happiness and happiness out of drink. So he tried to drink. That too was vanity. Others seemed to get satisfied out of owning a big business. So he bought and built and sold houses and got servants and maidens and gained great possessions. His ships brought gold from afar and paved the streets with silver and gold. But once again, he said, vanity of vanity, all is vanity. Then he found the secret to true happiness. So look at it with me in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, page number 704. 704, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, and look at verse number 13. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse number 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. He found out that life without Jesus Christ in it is vanity. It's worthless. It's meaningless. Human life was made for God. Man was made with the capacity to have fellowship with Almighty God and to think his thoughts. We are made for companionship with God. He places in man's soul a void that will never be satisfied until it is filled with God himself. If you have Christ in your life, if you are right with him, then life is wonderful. If your friends drag you away from church and Christ, then give up those friends and get some new ones. Listen, young people, and all the rest of you, dear folks, God won't ever let you down. The devil is a liar and the father of lies, the Bible says. He never tells you the truth. He always says things are much better than they really are. He's a deceiver. You better look out. Our world today is in dire need for some Daniels. Will you dare to be one? Will you be willing to say, I will not defile myself? The secret to a happy, successful life is found in that famous verse in Matthew 6, if you'll turn there with me, page 1013. Matthew's Gospel, the 6th chapter, page 1013. It wraps it all up. Matthew 6, verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, salvation, and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. Do you know this Christ? Does he live in your heart? If not, you're never going to make it to heaven, and you're going to be miserable down here trying to make yourself happy when happiness is round up, all bound up in knowing him. Do you know him this morning? Will you dare be a Daniel? Will you commit yourself to that? Let's bow in prayer together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your precious word. We thank you for Daniel and what he means to us and what we learned from him, just scratching the surface this morning. But Lord, if we ever needed some Daniels today, we do now. The world's in a mess and nobody knows what to do with it. The same-sex people are beginning to control about everything they want today, and we're left behind. Things pretty miserable today. I'm very concerned about our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren. We need some Daniels. Is there a Daniel in this crowd this morning? Father, I pray that you'll reach down from heaven and touch some different hearts today. Save those who may be lost. But I pray you'll turn some of these men and women and young people into some Daniels who will not defile themselves. Bless the invitation now in Jesus' name. Amen.